Well, over the past few weeks, we've seen that Paul has really exhorted his brother Timothy. Paul knew that Timothy was gifted. We saw that he had this gift of preaching and teaching. And Paul knew that, and so he wanted Timothy to fan into flame that gift. Paul didn't want to see that gift die down or cool down. And one of the ways that it might cool down was if Timothy gave way to fear. And so Paul says, Timothy, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever be ashamed of that. No matter how much opposition you may face, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. Keep on proclaiming the gospel. As we continue in our passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning, we'll see that not only was it important for Timothy to proclaim the gospel, but also to protect the gospel. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. 2 Timothy 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, "What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Well, if you were to ask my mother, "Hey, June, what was one thing that Eric really hated to do as a young boy?" She might list a few things, like my first grade teacher. I didn't really enjoy going there. But she would probably say one thing that he hated to do as a young boy was going with me shopping. And she would be right. As a youngster, that was one of the things that I just hated, and I may have shared this in the past, but I've been here so long, you're going to get the story again. I used to hate shopping with my mom. And I think probably because it was just so boring for a little guy. Just didn't find any excitement in shopping. So what I would often do, and maybe some of you can relate to this, they have the clothes racks there, and there's that little section in the middle. And it was always so tempting. You would slither through the clothes, and you're about this tall, and you just pop in the little middle, right? And you could peek around and hide in there for a little while. That kept you entertained. But the misery of all miseries for me was when my mom took me to the fabric store, or what we used to call the material store, because I found no excitement in staring at rolls and rolls and rolls of material. You know, I couldn't care what color they were. I didn't care whether it was cotton or wool or whether it was plaid or striped. I couldn't stand it. But eventually my mom would purchase some material, but that would not be all. It would not end there. She would go to the back of the material store, and there would be rows and rows of these patterns. And I must confess, it wasn't as boring because there was little pictures on there that kept me entertained for a few minutes. But it wasn't long before I was sitting on the side of the shelf, pouting with my selfish little attitude and thinking, when is this ever gonna end? By God's grace, it did end. It finally ended, and we would go home. And my mom would get busy. She would get to work. She would lay out the material on the dining room table. And she would pull out the pattern from the thing, lay it out, and pin it on there. And then she would begin to take her scissors and cut away on the dotted lines or whatever kind of lines they were. She would cut out the pattern. Well, in our passage today, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy this: "Timothy, I have a pattern for you to follow. I have these lines that you must adhere to and stick to. You've got to do it." And the pattern that Paul is talking about here is what he says, sound teaching or good doctrine, sound words that you find in the scriptures. You've got to hold to that, Timothy. You've got to stay the course. You can't veer off that pattern. Paul said, "Timothy, you've heard me preach the gospel. You know the pattern. Follow that. Do the very same thing." See, Paul was passionate about the gospel. We may ask, well, why was that so important? Was it really a big deal if Timothy threw a little his own twist on the gospel, or if he went a little off to the left or to the right? Did it really matter? Absolutely. It was a real big deal to get off the course. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You see, it was a big deal because the pattern that Paul used came from Jesus Christ and the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, we read this. Paul writing to the Corinthians says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul was passionate about preaching the gospel. And listen to how he says it. He says, "I'm just passing on what I've received from the Lord. I don't want to twist it, change it, do anything. I'm just passing it on." And Paul was so passionate. Why? Because in Paul's life, he had seen so many people twist the gospel, change the gospel. So many people who at one time said, "Oh yeah, I believe that message that Paul is bringing. I believe that." But then later down the road, they would twist it. They would change it. They would bring really a different gospel. If there's one thing that Paul despised and hated more than I despise the fabric store, it was twisting the gospel and changing the gospel message. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Again, Paul writing to the believers here. Says, "I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned." Paul makes it clear here that a different gospel is really no gospel. Why? Because there's how many gospels? There's only one gospel. And Paul says you can't mess with the gospel. Don't mess with the gospel message. The message that is all about the grace of God, the work of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, and then a person's faith in Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And that's the pattern we need to stick to. That was the pattern that Timothy was called to stick to. And Paul says, if you put anything on top of that message, you pervert the gospel. You twist the gospel. It's really amazing what Paul says in this passage, isn't it? Did you notice he says we? But if we, Paul includes himself there. Now think about Paul. He had been given so much authority as an apostle within the early church. But he says, you know what? If I wake up tomorrow morning and come to you with some different gospel or a different message, then may I be eternally condemned. Those are some serious, heavy words to say. Why would Paul say that? Because Paul loved the gospel message and the truth of the gospel more than his own life. And so he wanted this gospel protected and guarded. This is his heart here to Timothy, as Timothy would be a pastor, a teacher, an overseer. And so you and I also need to protect the gospel. Well, how do we do that? Paul mentions three things in our passage we're going to touch on. But even before we go there, a main thing that we need to keep in mind is this. Make sure that the Bible is authoritative in our lives. And what I mean by that is that every authority of man, no matter who they are, must come under the authority of this book, the authority of the Bible. It's so important to keep that in mind. Though I may be a pastor and I'm called to instruct and teach you, and with that there is some sense of authority that God has given, ultimately, my position is always under this authority, under the Word of God. If I ever get that out of place, if I ever put the Bible or myself above the Bible and its authority, then what may happen? I may pervert the gospel. I may twist the gospel message. And so it's so important to keep the Word of God high. And not just me, but really any man who teaches, who brings forth the Word, must come under the authority. It doesn't matter what their title is, whether it's teacher, whether it's pastor, whether it's bishop, whether it's pope, it doesn't matter. They all have to come under the authority of the Word of God. Why? Because man is sinful. Even redeemed man is capable of going off course, of capable of twisting the gospel and twisting the truth. And so that's why we always must hold the Bible high. You know, I stand up here on this little platform. I'm kind of above you guys. But I hope you see it this way, that what's really high is this. That my posture and your posture must be one of submission. We're coming under the Word of God. We're submitting our hearts and our lives. Yes, I'm a vessel that I bring it out to you. But ultimately, we're under this. This is our authority. This is what we stand upon. The Scriptures must be authoritative, or else we will end up on a slippery slope and we may just pervert the gospel. Well, how could Timothy protect the gospel? Again, in our passage, we see three ways that Paul mentions. He says, with faith, with love, and with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at these briefly. Number one is with faith. How does faith protect the gospel? Well, think about it. Our faith is in who? Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our faith, you could say, secures our salvation. It is our faith that puts us in a right standing with God. The word there is justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. We're clean, we're clear before God because of our faith in the righteousness of Christ and the work of Christ. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 28. He says this, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the Lord, observing the law. Yes, observe the Lord. Observing the law. As soon as someone comes along and says it's faith plus baptism, or it's faith plus church membership, or it's faith plus communion, or it's faith plus this, what they're doing is they're really throwing daggers at the gospel. And so Paul says to Timothy, oh no, when people come along and they try to add to faith alone, this is what you do. You hold up your shield of faith and you don't let those daggers hit the gospel. Secure the gospel. Protect the gospel. You need to guard it. And you need to keep trusting in Christ. We're saved by faith, but we also live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So one way that Timothy could guard the gospel is to keep trusting God, to keep walking by faith. Second thing that Paul mentions is love. Just as faith secures our salvation, you could say this, that love signifies our salvation. In other words, the demonstration of love is a demonstration of genuine faith in Christ. Not too long ago, we made our way through 1 John. What was a major theme in 1 John? Can you tell me? It was love, right? Love was plastered all over that. Let's go back and look at 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 21. Familiar passage. John says this, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Central to the gospel message is love. The gospel message, when you think about it, is centered on the love of God. Any gospel message that doesn't talk about God's love for sinners isn't the gospel. Now, certainly we should be aware of our own sin. We should be made aware of our own disobedience, our rebellion, how we've transgressed the law of God and how much we need a Savior. That's true. We need to be humble and broken and contrite before a holy God. That's true. But ultimately, we need to hear this, that God is love. And the reason that I can be forgiven and cleansed of all my sin is because the love of God has been manifested through Jesus Christ. That is so central to the gospel message. If you don't talk about the love of God, how can anyone know that they can be forgiven apart from the love of God? So Paul says to Timothy, make sure you protect the gospel in the love of Christ, that you keep on remembering God's love for you. And not only that, but you continue to demonstrate that love. Because if you've been hit by the love of God, then what ought to happen in your life? John says you must love one another. The love of God should revolutionize your life. And so John says, if you do not love, then how can the love of God be in you? A good question to ask ourselves is this: if we do not love the brethren, brothers and sisters, if we do not love them, we need to ask ourselves, do I really believe the gospel? Do I really believe it? Has it hit me? Has it transformed my life? So number two, we see that love protects the gospel because the gospel message is rooted in love. And thirdly, Paul mentions the Holy Spirit. We see that in verse 14 of our passage. Paul says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. As we read the scriptures, we learn about the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we learn about the Holy Spirit is that when God places His Spirit in our lives at conversion, one of the things that God is telling us or communicating to His people is this: your eternal destination is heaven. When I deposit my Spirit in you, that means this, that you are guaranteed everlasting life. It's my promise. In fact, the Holy Spirit is called or referred to as the Spirit of promise. It's a promise to us that we know where we're going when we die. The presence of the Spirit in us, God's gift to us. But that's not all, because the Spirit was also given for the here and now. And this is what Paul is getting at in this passage. Mainly this: Timothy, you're not alone. When it comes to protecting the gospel, remember this, God has given you a helper. Remember what Jesus said in John 14? I'm going to send the helper or the counselor, the comforter to be with you, and he will be in you and with you forever. And so Paul says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, God has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts to do what? To help us. To help us to guard and protect the gospel. And how reassuring that must have been for Timothy. Because how often do we think we got it all on ourselves or we got to do it all alone? No. If it was totally up to Timothy to protect the gospel, or if it was totally up to us to protect the gospel, we'd be in sorry shape. But God says, no, I've put my Holy Spirit in you to help you protect and guard the gospel, so that the gospel message will be proclaimed until the day of Christ. Verse we've been learning in care group, Philippians 1, verse 6, is, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it or bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. God is faithful. This is what Paul is getting at here to Timothy. Hey, Timothy, God is faithful, and he'll help you, no matter how much opposition you may face. Well, how does this apply to all of us today? Well, number one is this, is don't ever bring a young boy to a material store. Don't ever do that. No, just kidding. Number one is this, it is hold tight to the gospel. Hold tight to the gospel. I pray that no matter who is behind this pulpit, that you as a church family would hold tight to the gospel. The gospel that is based on the grace of God, the work of Christ, and our faith in Him. Some have said that we as Christians need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. And why is that? Why is that so important? Because if we don't forget where we came from, we're going to be in sorry shape. If we don't forget the cross, if we don't forget the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace that saved a wretch like me, how dependent we had to be on the grace of God for salvation, we will get a little proud. We'll get a little arrogant. We need to be humble when it comes to remembering God's grace and the gospel. Let me just give a special word to the younger generation, those of you in the back row who are taking good notes or playing with your phone or whatever you're doing back there. You, when I am not here anymore, and I don't know when that will be. I'd love to say I'm going to die in this place, but I don't know what God has for me. But there'll be a day when I'll be, should, unless the Lord comes back, but let's say he's not going to come back before I die. There's going to be a day where I'm going to be 6 feet under. And I don't know who will be here. And a lot of these people that you see now with grayer hair, they're not going to be here either, probably. Would you do this? Would you protect the gospel? If God still has you in this place, in this church family, if someone ever gets up here and begins to teach or preach a different gospel than what you find in the scriptures, would you stand up and say, excuse me, that's not the gospel? Well, maybe you might not do it right in front of them, but take them aside after and say, that's not the gospel. You know what? Go ahead. You do it right in the middle of the service. You say, that's not the gospel. I think Paul would do that, don't you? And Paul falls in the midst and somebody's twisting the gospel. Would you do that? Would you guard and protect the gospel? Yeah. You too. Guard and protect the gospel. Number two is to hold tight to God. Ultimately, God is the author of the gospel, is he not? He's the giver of the gospel. We know that every time his word goes out, it never returns void, but it accomplishes the purposes that he has for it. So ultimately, God is sovereign over that, and so we need to cling to God. As you seek to hold tight to the gospel, you must hold tight to God. You must do the things that Paul tells Timothy, walk by faith and not by sight. Live a life of love. Paul says to the Ephesians, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Live that life of love as you protect the gospel, as you guard the gospel. And may you also rely on the Holy Spirit. And as you hold tight to God, please remember this, that God is holding tightly to you. I love the words of a Casting Crowns song, and I'll close with this morning. The song East to West. It's mainly about the forgiveness of God and just how awesome and how great that is. And as believers, sometimes we can doubt that. Who here has ever doubted that they're really forgiven? We can. That's what this song is all about. But there's a line in there that talks about God holding on to us, and I want to get to that. Let me just read some of the words of this song. It says, here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and as I stand before you now, as though I've never sinned, but today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? Because I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy, I find rest. You know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. I start the day the war begins, endless reminding of my sin. And time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. And the portion I wanted to really focus on today is this, a stanza where he says, I know you've washed me white, turn my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. I can't live by what I feel, about the truth your word reveals. And I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. You're holding on to me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have the power not only to save us, but you have the power to keep us. And God, our salvation is rest in your faithfulness, in your promises to your people. And so, God, today, help us to have peace. Help us to have that rest in our own souls. That if we've come to you by faith and we've embraced Jesus, then our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. They're totally gone. Oh God, help us to trust in your word, trust in your promises. And God, today as we've talked about your gospel, I pray that we would protect the gospel and guard the gospel, no matter who may oppose it, that we'd be strong and firm in that gospel message and declare it to this world. And help us, oh God, to do this. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you promise to be with us forever. We just give you thanks for that. And we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.